Today, right after the sermon is finished, we will have the Holy Communion. As Jesus had the Last Supper with His disciples and shared the bread and wine with them, He told them to remember His flesh and His blood. Following this command, the Holy Communion is observed in major seasons. Then, what should we meditate on and remember through this Holy Communion? The answer is our Lord's agony and suffering and His death on the cross. And we have to meditate on its meaning and make a resolution to obey the Lord's will. The wages, as it is said, the wages of sin is death. We were all sinners, thus being destined for the punishment of death. However, Jesus died on the cross on behalf of sinners, and those who believe in this can be saved and escape the punishment of death. We read in Romans chapter 3, verses 25 and 26, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, He passed over the sins previously committed. To us who believe in our Lord's precious blood, God no longer calls us sinners. God no longer points out our sins. Once we repent, Father God does not remember it. For the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness at the present time, so that He would be just and justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. When we accept the Lord as our Savior, all our sins are forgiven. This is Father God's word of His such tremendous grace. What tremendous grace this is! Among people, when we commit sins to another person, even after we repent before Him, and it would be good if the other person forgives us, but that person may forgive you with words, but he may say bad things about you to other people. But to God, once we repent, Father God never remembers them, and He perfectly cleanses us from all sins. This is what our Father God is like. Such grace was given to us through the crucifixion of His Son, Jesus. So we should never forget that grace. Every time we have this Holy Communion, we have to engrave and meditate on such grace. And we have to make a resolution once again to live. But we shouldn't misunderstand this verse or interpret it as you please. Even after you believe in God and receive the forgiveness of sins, if you continue to commit sins willfully, even while knowing there are sins, you will get farther and farther away from salvation. Some people may say, I've been forgiven, my Lord forgave me, and it's okay because I will repent at today's Daniel prayer meeting. We should never live such a life. In many parts of the Bible warns this. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we say we have, even while we profess that we are Father God's children, but live in sins, we are liars. Father God would not think of those who lie as His children. And verse 8 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. These verses tell us that even while we live in darkness and sins, if we say, I believe, I'm sinless, we are liars. Let's say you've accepted the Lord, and then you can be forgiven of many sins committed in the past. But if you sin from now on, Father God will, you will have to take responsibility for that sin. Even after, if you commit sins, even after we repent and commit sins again, once we repent and turn away from our ways, we have to strive not to commit sins, and with fervent prayer and fasting, until we root out the original evil and sin from our heart. This is what Father God and our Lord wants us. If you still commit sins and repent, repeatedly repent, commit sins and repent, Father God, we can't be sent to be forgiven. So as we share the bread and wine, we have to meditate on what Father God wants from us and what kind of life we are living. We have to reflect on ourselves. Thus, believing in the Lord and receiving forgiveness alone cannot guarantee perfect salvation. To ensure perfect salvation, we have to make sure to live by the Word of God. And as our Lord earnestly hopes, we have to change into God's true children and be united with our Lord. Today's scripture tells us about the life of being united with the Lord. It tells us what kind of life is to be united with the Lord. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he will also live because of me. Those who eat him will be united with him. The verses tell us that to eat his flesh and drink his blood is to be united with him. Today, we'll talk about how to eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, on which our shepherd instructed us. Every time we have this Holy Communion, Senior Pastor, we preach about how to eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. But in addition to having this as knowledge, we have to apply it in our lives so that we can walk with the Lord in our daily lives. This is the true meaning of Holy Communion. It is not just to physically eat the bread and drink his blood, but we have to meditate on what the true meaning of his flesh and what the true meaning of his blood. And we have to remember what our Lord told us. By doing so, we can have a true Holy Communion. Our Lord said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves." Here, the Son of Man refers to Jesus who came to this earth in human flesh. In many parts of the Bible, Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, he said, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He also said in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Like in these verses, the Son of Man refers to Jesus. To eat the flesh of the Son of Man means to eat Jesus' flesh. Then, what does the flesh of the Son of Man signify? We find in John chapter 1, verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Namely, the Word of God put on the flesh of man and came to this earth. This is Jesus. So, the flesh of the Son of Man doesn't refer to his physical flesh, but the Word of the truth. And to eat the flesh of the Son of Man means to make bread of all the words of God. As we read in John chapter 6, verse 55, "For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink." And so Jesus compared his flesh to food. we can physically stay healthy by eating meals. And it is the same spiritually. When we make bread of God's word well, our soul prospers more and more. Therefore, we have to diligently make bread of the word. And by worshiping God in spirit and in truth, you know, we have several worship services during the week. This is to eat the flesh of the Son of Man. And also by reading the Bible every day and listening to sermons, sermon summaries, and reading senior pastors' books, we can make bread of the word. Knowing that we can find a way to heaven and the secrets to receiving answers and blessings in the words, we have to enjoy listening to them always. We shouldn't just do this once and then take a break. No matter how good of a faith you have, no matter how many books you read, no matter how many sermon summaries you've read, no matter how much you prayed, no matter how much you've grown in faith, does it mean you can just stop growing your faith? It's the same physically. Let's say you eat a lot for lunch, but is it okay for you not to eat at all for dinner? We have to keep eating. It's the same spiritually. We have to listen to the word of God, and we have to have a spiritual breath, which is prayer. And Senior Pastor told us to read at least one chapter of the Bible and memorize one verse every day. So we have to stay close to the word of God, meditate on them, and make bread of them. Father God, one may say, I have good faith. I've studied the word a lot in the past, so it's okay for me not to make bread of the word. Such a person may lose faith and fall in faith. So we have to stay alert in prayer and the word. We have to keep this in mind. We can't make bread of his words merely by listening to them a lot. We shouldn't just keep them in our head as knowledge, but make bread of them. For example, if we just keep the word, give thanks in all circumstances as knowledge in our head, it's no use. In addition to listening to the word, we have to figure out the word spiritually and make bread of it and reflect on ourselves in light of that word. For example, if we just keep the word, give thanks in all circumstances as knowledge in our head, it's no use. In addition to keeping it as our knowledge, we have to figure out the word spiritually. So what it is to give thanks in all circumstances spiritually? It is to be thankful even when there's no reason for thanksgiving. Even worldly people are thankful. They are grateful when they have reasons for thanksgiving. But what God wants from us is to be thankful even when there's no reason for thanksgiving. But those who have faith, they have always reasons for thanksgiving. Even though their physical situation is bad, spiritually, they always overflow with reasons for thanksgiving. Because Father God is our Father. And He saved us through Jesus, His Son, through His precious blood. So no matter how hard the situation we may face, if we believe in Father God's power that who will resolve all our situation, this is how we can be thankful in all our circumstances. We have to keep this in our heart and apply it in our lives and make bread of it. Even those who know this word as knowledge, We have to be thankful. We have to give thanks in all circumstances. We have to rejoice always. But in face of difficulties, they end up making complaints, being filled with sorrow. That means he didn't make bread of that word. He only has that word as knowledge in their head. So we have to reflect on ourselves whether we've truly make bread of the word. And unless we make bread of the word, we cannot walk with the Lord and receive blessings. If we make bread of the word and obey accordingly, we can walk with the Lord, and Father God will resolve all our situations and make our lives prosperous. That's how our forefathers of faith lived. Even when Apostle Paul got beaten and imprisoned, he stayed thankful. He offered the praises and thanksgiving prayer. As a result, the prison doors opened and the angels came to help. So, we have to reflect on ourselves whether how much we've make bread of the word. And to do so, we have to read. In addition to having the word as knowledge, we have to think, we have to contemplate what Father God truly wants from us. This is how we can truly make bread of the word. In every word in the Bible, we have to make bread of it, and we have to examine our lives in light of them, in light of all the words. By doing so, we can walk with the Lord. And as we make bread of the word and keep it in our heart, we shouldn't think of the words in our own standard. We shouldn't say like, this word of God is too difficult to keep. No matter how difficult it is to keep it, we have to make bread of all the words in the Bible. There's no exception. We shouldn't say like, such words are too difficult. It's not, all the words in the 66 books of the Bible, we have to apply them in our lives. This is how we eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood. But in addition to eating the flesh of the Son of Man, we have to drink His blood as well. Then, what does it mean to drink His blood? Even when we take in physical food, we need water for digestion. Likewise, when we eat the flesh of the Son of Man, we have to drink His blood as well. Only then can we get eternal life. Spiritually, to drink His blood is to live by the Word of God, by faith. Then, why is it that keeping the Word of God is drinking the blood of the Son of Man? To redeem mankind from all sins, Jesus hung on the cross and shed His precious blood. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 14 says, "The life of all flesh is its blood." Also, Hebrews chapter 9, verses 22 reminds us, "Without shedding of the blood, there's no forgiveness." So, to forgive our sins and save us according to the laws of the spiritual realm, He shed His blood on the cross and died. He shed His blood on account of our sins, on account of my sins. By the shedding of His blood, our sins have been forgiven. Those who believe in this fact can no longer live in sins and evil. This is true faith. We may say, Jesus forgave our sins, and on the cross, because of the sins committed in our thoughts. He wore the crown of thorns. Because of our weakness, he was flogged and bled. No matter how many times we confess this, it's no use if we have to truly believe this fact from our heart. Only then can we be strengthened. Only then can our weaknesses be healed. And that is to no longer commit in sins. Because knowing that Jesus was crucified on account of us, we shouldn't crucify him ever again. This is the evidence of our true faith in this fact. Once we believe from our heart, we can no longer commit sins. Thus, we act according to the word of God. This is drinking the blood of the Son of Man, and this is true faith worthy of salvation, the Bible says. James chapter 2 verse 22 reminds us, you see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And James chapter 2 verse 26 says, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Namely, if a person shows no deed, even while he professes to believe, that is dead faith by which one cannot be saved. Faith without deeds is not worthy of salvation. When a person has no deeds, he is not drinking the blood of the Son of Man. Only when we drink his blood, namely have faith that is accompanied by deeds, can we be saved. We have to keep remind ourselves of this fact through this Holy Communion. When we eat physical food, its nutrients are absorbed into our body while wastes are excreted. Our wastes should be excreted. Even after we eat, if we can't have wastes excreted, it will be harmful. Our nutrients are absorbed into our body, and the same is applied spiritually. Let's say we make bread of the word, love your enemies. We've learned from sermons in the Bible that to love our enemies is the will of God. This is a truth. This is to eat the flesh of the Son of Man. With this, but as we reflect on ourselves, we discover that we hate someone. We know that we shouldn't just eat the flesh of the Son of Man. We have to drink his blood as well. After we discover that we have some kind of sins and evil through the word, and then we have to change our deeds, change our actions. That is, once we discover that we hate someone, we think like we should no longer hate that person. So, we have to show the deeds of drinking his blood. As we've learned, we ought to practice love. Even when there's a person whom we hate, we understand and forgive him first. In addition to praying for this, we have to demonstrate our deeds, like giving some presents or gifts to that person, or giving compliments to that person. Even though we find shortcomings or weaknesses from them, we repent of it and we encourage them. That's how we cast off hatred, and this is to drink his blood. In doing so, we demonstrate these, accompanying these. With prayer and these, naturally, the hatred is cast off, and then love fills in. We have to go through this process again and again. This is the life of faith. You know, once we accept the Lord as our Savior, we find that there's heaven and hell, and then we shouldn't live as we please. We have to live by the word, and we have to pray fervently and discipline ourselves. This is to eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. By doing so, we can be led onto the way of life. As a result, all the untruth which were inherited from our parents are all removed from our heart. Even though we used to hate someone, as we diligently pray and demonstrate deeds of goodness, diligently, we can be strengthened to love people whom we used to hate. Not just that, we will receive such strength from above. And we can also love other people as well. Because we don't have hatred anymore, we can love other person as well, other people as well. That's how you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood. Finally, you will resemble the heart of our Lord. As we resemble our Lord, we will be united with our Lord. As the today's sermon title says, our Father God wants all these church members, wants all His children to live such a life. And our Lord also asks us to be united with Him. Even now, He asks us to be united with Him. So through this Holy Communion, I want you to once again meditate on the meaning of the flesh of His flesh and His blood. And you have to check yourselves whether you've lived so during the first half of 2018. We know physically, we have physical knowledge of what His flesh and what His blood means. But in addition, we have to live such a life. So we have to diligently eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood. I want you to live such a blessed lives. Let me conclude the message. Indeed, many blessings are with those who are united with our Lord. Our Lord promises us in John chapter 15, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Whatever you ask, whatever you pray for, He will give you. He will answer you. That's what our Lord promises. Like, whether it's financial blessing, good health, wisdom, or peace in our family, or students, wisdom, whether it's peace in the family, if you pray for that, whatever you ask for, whatever you pray for, Father God will give you. But only on the condition that you live in Him and the Lord abides in you. Only on the condition that you are united with the Lord. Moreover, in the everlasting heaven, we can enjoy the glory of shining like the sun. Even while you live on this earth, it will be better for us to live a greater house, but it's everlasting heaven. In heaven, we no longer have chances to build up wars. We cannot ask Father God to allow us to build up heavenly wars. You know, in paradise, there are no crowns. There are no rewards. Even though people in paradise regret their life and ask Father God to allow them to build up heavenly rewards, He will no longer be given that kind of chance. Only while we live on this earth, we have chances to build up our rewards. Now, even while live on earth, we pray and devote ourselves for the souls. Then, our rewards can never be taken away. No one can take away our rewards. And Father God builds up, Father God piles up the rewards in heaven. When we work faithfully for God, Father God will see us as good and consider us as good and pay us back with heavenly rewards. This is very profitable deal. This is a good deal. We have to, because we believe in this fact, we have to run vigorously and earnestly. To be united with the Lord is not difficult. What could be better, more valuable, or precious than this? Even, you know, even you work hard to earn a lot of money on this earth, you boast of yourself, no one can come to you and complain. Even while you, even if you live like this on earth, if you go to heaven, it's nothing. No one recognizes you. But I want you to live a true life of faith. What we hope is, our hope is to more diligently eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood. We have to live like this more diligently, all the more diligently. I hope that you abide in His word and the Lord abides in you. And I hope all of you will live such blessed lives. I pray in our Lord's name that you will stay filled up with joy and happiness day after day. As we celebrate the Holy Communion, I want you to meditate on what kind of life you've lived during the first half of 2018 and make a resolution to truly eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood. I hope you have such blessed time through this Holy Communion.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.